on, everybody. Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. This is the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Believe it or not, if you have been around the internet the last couple of days, there was no UFC show last night. There is no WWE pay-per-view today. There's no TNA pay-per-view. There's nothing going on this weekend. There is a New Japan show coming up. But in general, there is nothing going on, and it would seem that we have nothing to talk about here today on the program. However, in my hot little hands is two full pages of news to get into here today. There's a lot of stuff from the last couple of days that's going on, not just here, but also down in Mexico. In fact, a huge news story kicking off in Mexico this weekend as the original Místico, at one point in the early 2000s, the biggest box office draw in the world, has returned to CMLL. We've got that. We've got a lot of WWE news to talk about. They've obviously got a pay-per-view coming up, Hell in a Cell. Giant list of news today. And it is Sunday, and so we're going to be opening up the phone lines as well. We got phone lines, we got Skype lines, we got the text message number. Anything that is on your mind is fair game. And I want to hear your thoughts, if you have seen the show, on WWE's Dinner for Three, I believe they're calling it. I may have that wrong. But suffice to say, it is a show where three people sit down, they eat, and they talk about their careers and such. I'm watching two of them tonight for the Brian and Vinny show, and so I want to hear what everybody thinks about them, because I have heard they're awesome. So we're going to talk about that with Mike Sempervivi. We'll take your phone calls. I'll throw out all of the numbers after the break. If you want to get a jump on it, they're all up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. So stick around, everybody. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We have a lot of news to talk about here today. Two pages worth of news, believe it or not, which is hard to believe on a day like this. Also, already got tons of people on the line. If you want to give us a call today, the studio line direct here is 425-488-0525. If you want to Skype us, F4WOnline is the Skype number. Text message is 425-780-7566. The Sports Byline, 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. You could also Skype the Sports Byline number, which is Sports Byline and the number 2. So many ways to contact the show today. Mike, are you ready to go?
I think I'm ready to go. If I wasn't ready to go, hearing the New Day's theme to begin the program has got me ready to go.
All right, to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy in New Jersey.
Yes, Sammy.
Actually, I was planning to call, talk about the, I watched the most recent table for three with Owens, Cesaro, and Ambrose, and it is definitely some of the better stuff on the network. I'm not going to say too much about the episode, just let people watch and, you know, hear their stories, but they do very specifically mention repeatedly CZW and Ring of Honor and talk about like stories of that time. And they don't hide like anything about it, including like some of the violence of CZW. Not like they make a big deal of it either, but definitely worth checking out those shows. And I'm also going to watch the Intercontinental one. I'm sure those are the two you're watching tonight.
Is it a, how long is the show? Is it a half hour show or an hour?
It's 23 minutes straight.
No, 23 minutes, that's it? Wow. Some of these guys could talk for 3 hours.
I will say that again?
Said some of these guys could talk for 3 hours.
Yeah, you'd think so. But I think the New Day one was 18 minutes. I saw that one, too. It was definitely it's definitely nice. It doesn't feel very scripted. The environment feels planned, obviously, but then they just feel like they're talking and just chatting like they would in a hotel room, like after a show.
How about that? All right, Sam, anything else on your mind?
I did have one other thing. I'll just make it real quick. You guys have mentioned recently, like, you sounded a little confused at this idea of turn people heel to get them over. but as it's defined in the modern era, I can't think of a single top babyface in the company other than Bret Hart and Rey Mysterio who didn't get over first as a heel before becoming a top-level babyface.
No, you're confused.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is, if the idea that in order to get Roman Reigns cheered, you want to turn him heel so that as a heel, he'll get cheered, that's the part that I was skeptical about. Obviously, I think the easiest way to get Roman Reigns over as a babyface is to turn him heel for a while, and then when you turn him babyface, he'll be over afterwards. But the idea that he's not being cheered now, so let's make him a bad guy, and then he'll get cheered, that to me is just wacky.
The way I understand the psychology of that, to me, is that wrestlers have a much easier time, and most wrestlers prefer to be a heel because you get to be more natural, and you get to be more comfortable in your skin. And by doing that, you get to show yourself more, and that's really what gets a wrestler over to begin with, is being yourself more, times 10. And so that's why that kind of psychology generally works, but not to the idea of turn him bad so that people like him, even though that's kind of sort of the mentality has been for a while now in a strange way. That's it.
All right. Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call. I think the thing is that with a lot of WWE fans, they don't like people that are new, and so they boo them. If you bring in a new babyface, with certain exceptions, I don't expect people to boo Sami Zayn. There are certain people that are very, very likable that the fans enjoy cheering, but I think that if you brought in a guy and you decided that we're going to make this guy a babyface and we're going to push him, the fans are not going to accept him at the beginning. They almost never do. So it's easier to me to debut new people as heels, because then people can boo them to their heart's content since they don't like new people. That's the way it seems to me. And then you turn them later and then everything is happy once people accept who they are. And again, it's not a universal rule. I don't think that Sami Zayn should debut as a heel. I don't think Finn Balor should debut as a heel. But if you had, say, who would be a good example, Mike? A Tyler Breeze? Tyler Breeze should not debut as a babyface. I think they would turn on him. Or
a honky-tonk man situation, I think, with Tyler Breeze that way.
Bull Dempsey, they would boo him if he debuted as a babyface, I think. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe if they did Bullfit.
I understand, too, the psychology, what Sammy was talking about with the psychology of it's easier to go out there. You can't show your ass in the past, especially as a babyface. You're not supposed to, at least. You are, you know, supposed to be portraying something that you may not very well be. And as time goes on and guys, you know, especially from the 80s, you hear about it the most, I think, from that era where it's like, you know, all the bad guys are great guys and all the good guys can be some real pricks. But I think in today's day and age, it's more to do with the fans. You watch old programming where they would debut somebody and maybe there was apathy, but for the most part, if somebody was portrayed as this is our new, you know, happy baby face and they gave him a shot and, you know, whether they caught on or not, usually the first time they were out there, they got a pretty good response because that's what people were trained to do. Now, today's fans are, like you said, they are, well, you didn't say this, but they're jaded. It's just a different era. As we went through the 90s and the Attitudes era till we got here, it's just different now. And sometimes you just have to kind of play that game when it comes to people and, you know, get them to a point where they want to boo somebody so bad that they end up wanting to cheer them. I mean, John Cena has been one of the better examples with that, with how he came up as a heel to how he became a babyface to how he became a heel again. It's actually, it's a very interesting ride when you just look at it from the fans' point of view.
I think the easiest thing to do, because again, it's a generalization that fans are going to boo anybody new. So I don't want people to go, Brian, that's not true. There's so-and-so that they didn't boo. If you've got a new guy, maybe he should debut by doing just a couple of generic squash matches, which is always a good way to debut a guy anyway, and you judge the fans' reaction. If they get behind the guy, then fine, go with him as a babyface. If it seems that there's something about him that people don't like or are not accepting, have him debut as a heel. A perfect example would be Apollo Crews. I think that Apollo Crews would be...
I was hoping you'd say Glacier.
Apollo Crews, when he debuts on the main roster, I think that he should be a babyface, but because he's got such a good physique, if they debut him right out of the gate as a babyface, there could be fans in the audience who say, the only reason this guy is debuting and getting this big push is because he's got a great physique. He must be a guy Vince wants to shove down our throats. We're going to boo the guy. And if you get that kind of response, fine. Have him be a heel. Have him have a heel run, and then later you can turn him babyface. But everybody's different. Who knows how the fans are going to react? The fans may have loved, in fact, they did love Roman Reigns all the way up until that incident at the Royal Rumble where Daniel Bryan ended up being eliminated. Soon as that happened, they hated Roman Reigns, and they hated him really ever since. But he was not getting overwhelming boos before that period. Who knows how these fans are going to react?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And with Cruz, too, you almost... I'm not saying I would do this, but you, I'm sure somebody's got the thought of you could bring him up as a heel. I mean, with all eyes on turning him babyface because of his charisma, because of his personality, because of his look, and because of the moves he can do looking like that. You know, you could have all the faith in the world that, you know, people are going to cheer him, but you introduce him as this badass heel, so at least he has that also in his back pocket, and then, you know, you just turn him at the best available opportunity.
Let's go to Raw on the Sports Byline. Raw, you're on the air.
Hello, Brian Alvarez?
This is Brian Alvarez, yes.
Yeah, listen, I have a question regarding the New Japan show coming real soon, tomorrow, likely. What are they going to do with Naito after he finishes out with Tanahashi? I know that his match with Shibata was mad good at that last pay-per-view they did. So I was wondering what kind of direction they're going with Naito now that he got this new persona.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. We're going to pick this up after the break. I've actually got the entire New Japan lineup, so we'll talk about that, get Mike's thoughts on all of the main matches and more. Coming up after the break, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Joined by...
I don't know. I would love to see Naito beat Tanahashi. Just even if they have got no intention on giving Naito the match at the Tokyo Dome, and they don't, I wouldn't believe, because I think they want to do Okada and Tanahashi so Okada can finally get his win over Tanahashi on a big stage. There's been a storyline where in the last 3 years, so Tanahashi has been involved somehow, some way in taking away his glory, Okada's glory at the Tokyo Dome on January 4th, New Japan's WrestleMania. So I believe they want to have Okada finally slay that piece of his past with Tanahashi this year. So what better way to kind of stir things up than have Naito win tonight? You still have two major shows taking place over the next couple of months leading into January 4th, and I don't think it cheapens anything. I think it could be kind of an interesting idea if Naito were to beat Tanahashi, but outside of that, I don't know. Makabe and Ishii have been battling over the Never Openweight Championship now for pretty much the entire year, so that looks like that'll be coming to an end. Why not, especially if the title is going to go back on Tomohiro Ishii, why not have Ishii and Naito? It takes some of the pressure off Ishii as far as killing himself, because Naito can fly around for him and bounce around like a basketball, and you know they're going to be great matches. And it's with Naito's great character of this guy who doesn't care, this, you know, just, you know, completely obstreperous human being that he's been in New Japan, I think that would actually be a great, great matchup.
Tell you why Naito is not going to be Tanahashi. First off, he beat him in the G1, which is why this match has taken place. I can't imagine him doing it again. And the whole storyline of the Tokyo Dome is that Okada has never been able to beat Tanahashi at the Dome, correct?
That's the whole deal. And then he got his glory taken away as Okada wrestled Naito that 1 year. And instead, the people wanted to see Nakamura and Tanahashi as the main event. So indirectly on that one, he also got it from Tanahashi.
Sure. So to me, the whole thing is, I don't think you can beat Tanahashi until the Dome. I think if you beat him tonight, even if he ends up getting it back, I just think it would be a bad idea to beat the guy on the way to that big show where that's kind of the storyline. Can Okada finally beat this guy at the Tokyo Dome?
I guess, and I know what you mean, and I just think that New Japan's in position. They have a couple of guys there because of how they book, where you know, Naito can get that win over him again and have that in his pocket, because Tanahashi can get that back at any point. And I don't think it would bastardize anything. I think it would be one of those kind of a gasp moment for the fans, because of exactly what you're saying. It's not something that you probably would do, but I think they'd be good enough to pull it off. Again, I don't think that they will, but I think it would be kind of a cool idea, I think. And I, you know, I don't know where Nakamura stands in this too, as far as we'll have to see about that leading into January, because there's so many names out there with Shibata, a Goto rematch, Naito, who knows what's going to happen. But one thing is for sure, the heel turn was a long time coming for Naito. It has been great. You know, CMLL has been able to play off of it in Mexico and get legitimate heat out of fans, sometimes a little bit too much so. So that whole gimmick this year, because it is taking place in New Japan and in Mexico, is kind of flying under the radar, but it has been a very, very successful one this year.
To the Skype line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian and Mike, it's Danny Hernandez. How are you two?
What's up, Danny?
Good. So Access TV on Friday, they started covering their Wrestle Kingdom 9 shows.
That's right.
And I want to know, I'm going to make a comment that you can really see how much better Morrow and Josh are able to call those first two matches.
Okay, I want to say something about that, because I heard a couple of people say that. By the time the whole thing is over, if everybody wants to say that Mauro Ranallo and Josh Barnett did a much, much better job calling the action than Jim Ross and Matt Stryker, then everybody is welcome to do that. However, the first couple of matches on that Dome show were, in a lot of ways, a production disaster for Jim Ross and Matt Stryker. They weren't even told when they were on the air. They were given no instructions from backstage. They weren't told, go. They had no idea what was going on. And so, as the match gets started, they just started calling the action. And it took them a while to get acclimated to each other. And so I don't think it's a fair comparison to look at the first two matches from the Dome being called by Jim Ross and Matt Stryker and compare those to the two matches that were being called by Mauro Ranallo and Josh Barnett, who have worked together for a long time. At the end of the day, yes, those guys may end up being much, much better, because they have going for them the fact that they've been calling New Japan together for a long, long time now. But a direct comparison with those first two matches is probably not fair.
Yeah, like I was trying to say because the TV broadcast has commercials, so it has the announcers able to catch their breaths. Unlike what JR and Matt did, they have to keep on talking the whole time. The commercial breaks really help the matches. But isn't there like the tomorrow's like New Japan show? Aren't they doing English commentary on that show? Also?
That's right, they are. And in fact, it's. I want to thank you very much for the call. It's kicking off here. In about, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, if you want to check it out. And everybody's favorite, Matt Stryker, is going to be calling the action live alongside Kevin Kelly, which, by the way, was not a Ring of Honor deal. It was the New Japan people went directly to those guys and got them on the show. So, Mike, are you prepared to watch it? Do you know if on New Japan World they've got an option to toggle between the English commentary and the Japanese commentary?
I believe that they do, or they're going to at least have a page, because I mean, I'm basing this off of the press conference, which I only saw literally like a second of, and I just didn't have a chance to see it. I was doing some other things at the time, but I heard that even though they had absolutely no idea what was going on, that Stryker and Kevin Kelly did a good job, you know, kind of, you know, just, I guess, ad-libbing through the thing. So I'm assuming they're going to do the same thing for tonight. Why else would they be there unless this is truly just a, you know, a closet test run to see how things go? But good for Kevin Kelly. I'm glad, you know, it doesn't matter if it was an ROH deal or not, but it's kind of nice that they went directly to him to ask him about that. You know, I'm sure that he was on the radar. But again, I'm interested to know. I haven't heard Jim Ross's podcast or anything like that. I don't know if he's discussed it, but I'm surprised, you know, outside. I know, as we've talked about, as you've brought up, maybe it was just purely a money thing and they figured they could get somebody else cheaper, because Jim Ross, out of anybody, is going to come with the highest price tag. The war, you know, I'm not sure, again, what people make or anything like that, but you'd figure that may be the case. But it's nice that they did go directly to Kevin Kelly about it, although I would like to hear why they didn't approach Jim Ross at all or even send a test feeler out to see if he would do it.
Let's go to Kenny in Tennessee. Kenny, you are on the air.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, I thought I might call in and kind of comment about, it may have been Monday's show where you were talking about a lot of the matches that Seth Rollins have been losing lately. You know, it's kind of funny because I remember about, I guess about 10 years ago or 12 years ago when Triple H had his long run as, I guess, the world champion. There were a lot of times where I would watch, and you know, where it was a tag match or just like on Raw, he would lose a lot of matches, but when it came to the championship matches or, you know, like the main events on pay-per-views, he would win pretty much all the matches or would lose via DQ. And I can, and Mike, you might even remember, you know, when back in the days when Ric Flair was the traveling NWA champion, you know, he may lose on TV, but when he came to the house show, he would probably, like, you know, go to a one-hour draw and so forth. My question is this like a pattern in the case, like, if you're the heel and the champion, that you have to lose pretty much on television in order to convince people that all the good guys going to win, or is that just a common pattern that the WWE's kind of taken a hold of?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Mike.
I just think they're messy. You know, I really do, and I think they get too all over all over the place, I think is the word I'm looking for, or words I'm
Sounds
looking
like
for.
Sounds like you right about now.
A hell of a day. But I just think they're doing a poor job. It's as simple as that. And you know, Kenny's right. It's like back in the day, Ric Flair may have to get help against Ricky Morton or use the trunks or the horsemen would run in, but you know, he would still be out there sometimes beating a Tim Horner and being positioned to still look strong. And that's what made people hate him even more, was when he was getting help when he didn't have to. This was a guy they had cheered in the past. This is a guy that they knew he had the ability, in a way, kind of like Seth Rollins. You know, he's got the athleticism. You know, he can do the moves. You know, you cheered him at one point. This guy doesn't have to be doing this. The problem is they never make Seth Rollins look good. They never make him look strong. He always looks like a runt or a sneak or a punk. And it's he's great at it. The problem is they've let him fall too much in that trap without ever making him look strong. And that is just, to me, that's got to come from poor planning, and that's just got to come from just sitting there and not thinking things out and having a true long-term vision and long-term plan, because there would, in theory, be way too many talented minds and decent enough writers to come up with something far better for this guy. So to me, it's just sloppiness.
I think that they see Seth as a top guy, but they don't see him as the top guy. And so unless you're the top guy, there's a certain degree of protection you're not going to get. And he's absolutely not getting it, especially the last month. I should check out his... I'm going to go check out his win-loss record for the last couple of weeks as we go to the break, because I'm sure there's been some house shows he's lost on. So stand by, back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. All right, the Internet Wrestling Database has not been updated since Raw, but I do have some house show results here. And you'll be stunned to learn that John Cena has been beating Seth Rollins in all of the street fights. And so that means that, by my calculations, Seth Rollins, since September 8th, so in the last 1 month period, he is 1-16. And there may have been another house show that I haven't got the results from yet. But he's at least 16 losses and one win. Your WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I need to get Mookie Ghana to find out if anybody, and I'm talking Rey Mysterio, I'm talking Jack Swagger. I guarantee Mysterio didn't have a win-loss record this bad because Rey Mysterio was a babyface, which means he would win on the house shows. Jack Swagger, it's possible. It's possible. But I don't even think Jack Swagger went on a one-month streak where he had 16 losses and one win. And that includes every television show, by the way. The only win that Seth Rollins has had has been Night of Champions, which was on a show where he also lost. That's unbelievable.
And in his win, almost killed Sting.
Well, that's beside the point. But
not really his fault, but that's, you know, his one win is a loss because, you bastard, you were the one who helped retire Sting. So to hell with you, Seth Rollins. You know, the music leading us in here was from Action Bronson, who did a song once called Barry Horowitz. And
wow. Barry Horowitz had a better record than Seth Rollins.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, I remember when Horowitz got that push for a little while on Raw there. I mean, I need Mookie Ghana to find out the stats of just a 1 month record or 2 month record on Raw itself. Who had a better record, Barry Horowitz or Seth Rollins right now?
I'm not even talking WWE World Champions. Has there ever been a champion? Maybe Wade Barrett. I'd have to actually go back and look. Maybe we should just restrict this to world champions. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan.
I have a question about the odds. When do you see, like, Ring of Honor or TNA getting, like, odds? Because the only odds I ever see is for WWE cards. Is that because there's, like, an insider that's given away the secrets?
Odds, you say?
Like the betting odds that you always give on your show.
I think the issue, Ryan, is volume. Who is betting on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view?
Well, it would probably be at least half as many as WWE.
Half as many?
Because you're just thinking like the diehard people there that bet their money on wrestling matches.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see it anytime soon, Ryan. I think that Ring of Honor is too small for the betting odds.
Well, it keeps growing and growing, so I think. Someday you're done. Probably.
Someday it's possible. Someday that might happen. But
you
I don't even see... Ryan, we don't even see betting odds for TNA, which runs pay-per-views, and actually, today Ring of Honor probably is bigger, but even when TNA was not in the state it's in right now, we still didn't see betting odds for TNA shows, to my knowledge. Did we, Mike? Maybe there was one. There might have been one.
You know, I bet you there were. I bet you there were. I don't know.
I never saw them.
Yeah. Probably just two under the radar, Ryan. Do you have some money? Do you have some money you'd like to bet?
Not really. I just like to know who wins, you know, and see like if anyone's cheating or not. It's sort of interesting.
Anybody's cheating? You mean on the betting? Insider betting?
Like,
is that what you're saying?
It's working in the office. Like it's sort of interesting to find out who the moles are. And
oh, we don't know who the moles are. We know there are moles.
You just don't want to tell.
We don't know who they are, though. All right, Ryan, well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. You know the thing with those odds and everything like that, when they do the odds come out and people go through them, and at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, got every single solitary one of them. It's really not that impressive in the sense that we can usually predict, for the most part, almost all of the matches. I mean, when we normally do predictions here on this show, the fun part is, can we predict where they're going in a storyline? Like, where are they going with Dolph Ziggler and Lana and Rusev? I have no idea. But as far as, like, trying to pick who's going to win matches, unless there are nothing matches where it absolutely does not matter, like, if there's a Wade Barrett-Neville match, I mean, who cares? I guess if you really care about the odds, you can find out who's going to win that match. And those are the ones that they usually change. They'll do a DQ or they'll do a switch because it doesn't matter. I mean, for the main matches, I mean, some people get mad because they say, well, they are spoilers, Brian, because the smart money comes in and they're almost always accurate. Yeah, if we didn't have those, Mike and I would essentially be almost giving you spoilers because we could almost always predict everything that's going to happen on those shows in terms of who wins and loses.
We need to get some sort of like DraftKings or FanDuel. A daily fantasy thing. There's money to be made here somehow. Somebody somewhere is so degenerate that they are betting on professional wrestling as it is. We have got to try to tie this together, like maybe on a UFC weekend or on a WrestleMania weekend where there is a big Ring of Honor show or something like that, where we have one of those daily fantasy things where we can start.
I'll let you be in charge of that.
No problem.
I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what fantasy football is. Like, you bet on, you pick a team and then you bet on fake matches? Is that what this is?
This is real sports. This is
explain this to me. Explain what fantasy football is.
Basically, okay, you have, and this is like fantasy.
And yes, everybody,
football.
I'm a grown man.
It's a grown ass man doesn't know about this stuff. Doesn't know about the sport with the bats and the balls. And
I go outside. I play sports, Mike.
That's
I grapple every day. I don't play fantasy football.
Like
anyway,
any
what is
of these
it?
Sports? Like hockey, anything. Basically, you have all of these teams and there is a draft and each person goes down the line. If there's eight people, they pick a member of anybody that's out there playing, and everything is based off of their stats. It doesn't matter whether they win or whether they lose. It's about how they perform, and you receive points basically off of how these players are performing in their games, which opens it up where, you know, you get a chance to see, you know, and care about lots of different players outside of just watching your team, which, you know, people love to do. It gives them a reason to feel like they're involved in playing, which, you know, in the NFL or anything else. And it's just the thing. It's a phenomenon that kind of took off. And there's a daily version of this now, too, where people are giving a fantasy bankroll where they put up $5. Somebody else puts up $5. And you have a pot of $10 or a pot of usually like $9 because the website takes a dollar or takes a percentage of it. And you pick, say, 10 guys. The other guy picks 10 guys at each position. And you play each other. And whoever gets the highest number of points wins the pot.
Wow. Do these fantasy football folks get mad if you call it fake?
Probably not, no.
Huh. All right, let's go to Chris in Texas. You're on the air, Chris. What's going on?
They all seem to be wrestling fans. The guys who are on these sites who talk about this stuff, like Scott Angle is Bill Apter's nephew, I think it is, and they all seem to be wrestling fans, so who knows if this is all something that goes hand in hand.
Huh. All right, Scott, go ahead.
Chris.
Why wouldn't they be
Chris.
Fans? I mean,
sorry, go ahead,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, Chris, no worries. I mean, why wouldn't they be fans? It's the king of sports.
Yeah, it's the king of sports.
Yeah. Anyway, that takes me to, I got two comments about earlier from the New Japan discussion. First of all, everybody wanted English commentary on New Japan World, and now they're getting it for one show, and all I hear is complaining about who's doing it. People need to quit complaining. You're looking a gift horse in the mouth, and just enjoy it. I don't know why people can't just enjoy things these days.
Yeah.
But all this hate.
I agree with Chris.
Yes. And about Naito versus Tanahashi, I think Naito should probably win. I mean, he's kind of on a roll right now, and it seemed like he would kind of, I don't want to say stunt his growth, but we kind of, you know, elevate him a little bit to get a win over Tanahashi. And that's all I got to say about New Japan. But I got a quick question about Mystico, or the original Mystico, I guess. So the second Mystico, is he still out with an injury?
No. He was... I'm getting some feedback here. He was at the Arena Mexico show when the second Mystico debuted. Actually, Chris, I want to thank you very much for the call. Let me tell everybody the story here since we opened with it, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it here today. The original Mystico, which those of you that only watch American wrestling will know as Sin Cara, who was a failure in WWE, prior to coming to WWE, he was Mystico. He was CMLL's biggest babyface. He was one of the biggest stars in the world. For a period of time, he was the biggest box office draw in the world. He was the first luchador ever in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards, as voted on by fans and insiders, to win the Wrestler of the Year Award. He left CMLL. He went to WWE as Sin Cara. They had big plans for him, but they didn't know how to use him. And he failed miserably, and he left the company. He went back to Mexico. He went to AAA, of all places. For those of you that saw the Triple Mania pay-per-view, he had the match with Rey Mysterio Jr., which led to the mask challenge. Well, he got beat up at the last set of AAA tapings, which I don't know if that was planned to write him out or not, but suffice to say, he's gone. He showed up at Arena Mexico on Friday night for a... It was not a CMLL show, actually. It was for a group. What's the name of the group, Mike? Elite Lucha Libre. It's yep. For another group. But essentially, he showed up there and announced that he was back. And they did a press conference afterwards. And essentially, he's made it very clear he's returning to CMLL. It is a huge story in Mexico. It is a huge jump. And yes, after he left, they created a new Mystico, who is known as Mystico 2. And Mystico, or Mystico 2, or whatever you want to call him, he was on that show where the original Mystico returned and apparently went out there and did a bunch of dives and was being all spectacular. And we're going to have Dr. Lucha on the show tomorrow. He knows a lot more about this than I do. But the impression that I have been given is that the original Mystico is probably not going to initially come back as Mystico, because I think what they're going to do is they're going to build to a match with the other Mystico, where the winner will end up getting the Mystico name. And I would guess that the original Mystico will be the guy who gets that name. And he single-handedly, I don't know if single-handedly is fair, we can ask Steve tomorrow, but he pretty much turned around CMLL. And when he left, he turned around CMLL the other way. And so I don't know if his return is big enough to turn the company around again, but it's certainly a big-time monumental jump. And Dr. Luch is going to be on the show tomorrow to talk all about that, and that'll be fun.
And guys have gone back and forth, you know, with CMLL, but usually when they really don't like a guy or when something really bad has happened, you are, you know, persona non grata.
Excommunicated.
Yes, and Mystico was that guy, or the original, or whatever, not, Jesus. This dude was that guy. The guy who has been Mystices now in AAA there for a little bit has been that guy. And it was to the point where he wasn't even allowed in the building. Arena Mexico is owned by CMLL. That's why, you know, even if he was working for this promotion, but it was not something that was blessed by CMLL, they would have their weight behind them to say, this guy, if he's going to be on your card, you're just not going to run if he's going to be on it. They actually had that power. So he's there. It makes up, I guess, for Rush and L.A. Park. Departing, or not Rush, but L.A. Park and Dr. Wagner departing. So I guess we'll have to see what happens. One thing we definitely know is out the window is Mysterio and Mystic's mask versus mask. Which
that is true.
I think is all for the best because we already know what Rey Mysterio looks like, and I think he needs his mask. And when it comes to Mystic's, just not time yet. Let him fight for the name, let him go on for a while, and there you go.
We can ask Steve tomorrow. I think you may be confused about Excommunicated, because I know they made up, and I don't know if he was ever given the other wrestlers were given the ban for the shows, but we'll talk about it more after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Another Lucha note here, since we'll be joined by Dr. Lucha tomorrow. He notes on Lucha Underground, construction is going on at the site of the temple. Vignettes are going to start filming in about 4 weeks. So yes, Lucha Underground Season 2 kicking off in January of 2016. We'll talk to Dr. Lucha about that tomorrow on the program as well. Plus, everything that's going on with the original Sin Cara Mystices down in Mexico. In a moment, we're going to have our top of the hour break. When we come back, we got another hour of news, as well as your phone calls. I've got a whole bunch of text messages I got to read as well. If you'd like to send us a text message, it is 425-780-7566. The studio line is 425-488-0525. The sports byline, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. And you can Skype us at F4WOnline or Sports Byline 2. That is Sports Byline and the number 2. We're going to get into all of that after the break. And if you missed any of these numbers, you can always head up to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And everything you need is up there. All of the phone numbers, Skype lines, the whole nine yards. We got TNA news to talk about. WWE Hell in a Cell is coming up, and a lot more. So stick around. Back in 7, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And yes, we do air on Saturdays, replays at 10 a.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Pacific. Second hour here on the program today, live, taking your phone calls. 425-488-0525. Skype us at F4WOnline or Sports Byline 2. That is Sports Byline and the number 2. Text messages 425-780-7566. Call toll free the Sports Byline 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. All of these numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a bunch of text messages I want to get into here during this Short segment. This person here says, my favorite dinner for three on the WWE Network is Daniel Bryan, Ziggler, and Ryback. Ryback is awkward and claims he's bullied by the other two. That sounds amazing.
Sounds like something.
What else do we have here? This person says, the Table for Three shows are good. The New Day episode is a must watch. This person says, with recent releases of the PWG Battle of Los Angeles DVDs, was hoping you would review them on the Brian and Vinny show. I've been watching them this weekend and they are great. Well, one of the problems is I don't have a DVD player. Everything I watch is online. We'll see what we can do. I don't have a VHS player either.
Aren't you just the most super modern man? Look at you. Or are you hipster style where you only have a Betamax?
Mike, what in the world would I be watching on DVD? Aside from PWG.
I don't know.
Everything's on Netflix.
I don't know.
Hulu, WWE Network, New Japan World. I have nothing to watch on my DVD player. Back in a moment, everybody. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. I want to throw something out here for everybody. I'm trying to be friendly here. Sometimes when I do stuff like this, people construe it as me being unfriendly, but I'm actually being friendly. I'm going to try and smile as I say this. Please, everybody, do not tweet me if you have technical issues on the website. I mean this in the nicest way possible. I'm trying to be so friendly here. Twitter is not the place to go if you can't access something on the website or you can't log into the board. I'm going to throw the address out here for everybody. support@wrestlingobserver.com. Usually you will get a response very, very, very quickly. Now, unfortunately, we're not a $500 million company, so I can't guarantee you'll get an immediate response, but we're doing the absolute best we can. And I can assure you that you are going to get a response quicker by emailing support@wrestlingobserver.com than you will tweeting me your technical issues.
Yeah, but how fast will you get blocked doing it the other way?
I don't block anybody unless you're a complete idiot. And no one who's asking for support help is a complete idiot. But they're not going to get any support help. Usually because I don't know what's going on, everybody.
So you're not the webmaster, you say?
Well, when this website first started, let me tell everybody just a quick story. When this website first started, it was me. And it was my brother-in-law. And that was it. And in fact, I did do a lot of stuff.
No. It was you, your brother-in-law, and a dream.
And that's true. And a dream. But the dream couldn't do anything. But I did actually do a lot of coding, very primitive HTML, and a lot of stuff in 2005. It's now 2015. I don't know what's going on anywhere. I literally spend all of my time trying to put together the best audio shows that I can. So when someone comes to me and they say, oh my God, what are you going to do about such and such a feud on the board? It's like, on the what? I don't even go on the board anymore. I go occasionally just to kind of see what's going on, but I try to avoid it. And the board, by the way, everybody, changes are coming. It's 2015. And changes are coming on the board. We're not going to get rid of the board. We're not going to shut down the board. But the board's got to be better. Because right now, it's got a lot of problems. But the point of this is, I don't know what's going on. There's a million people that do a million different things on the website right now. There's dozens of people that are doing different things on the website. I don't know who's doing what. As long as the thing is working, great. And when it's not working, I'm not the guy to talk to because I usually don't know what went wrong. So, moral of the story is support@wrestlingobserver.com. I honest to God wish I could help everybody, but seriously, I don't know what's going on half the time, and I certainly don't know how to fix it. So support@wrestlingobserver.com. I got more text messages here, and then we'll go back to the phones. We got callers on the line, and we have open lines here at the studio, 425-488-0525, if you want to call us there. This person says, the only way Naito is beating Tanahashi, the only reason this makes sense is if there is a big Los Ingobernables invasion, which I may have butchered, but I tried.
Well, thing is, those ungovernables...
Is that what it actually is?
Yes.
Ingobernables, though. That's Espanol.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It could absolutely be the case that Naito is not involved in a big singles match because you start thinking about, well, is it, you know, Hanma and Ishii could be big. Hanma and Makabe, if they decide to go that route, although I don't think they will with the Intercontinental or the Never title, you know, that could be taking place at the Dome. You have Nakamura defending the IC title against any number of people that it could possibly be, from Ring of Honor, CMLL, or inside New Japan, or an outsider from New Japan, for God's sakes. I mean, really, he could face anybody. And you're kind of staring down Okada and Tanahashi at the Dome. So when you start shaking things out, maybe he will be involved in a six-man or an eight-man match, which would not be the worst idea in the world. I don't know if heaven and earth would collide and you have enough time to do it, but you know, the Bullet Club, some of the Bullet Club members staring off against those guys could be highly entertaining if and when they decide to do that too.
I've got a text message here. Why do you think WWE has not shown any interest in signing Jay Lethal? The guy is a great wrestler. He's a type of entertainer that WWE looks for. Luckily for him, he's only 30. I don't know what happened in between Jay Lethal's time with TNA and Ring of Honor, but obviously they couldn't go after Jay Lethal when he was in TNA because he was under contract, and Jay Lethal is the ROH World Heavyweight Champion and television champion right now, so I guarantee he's under contract now, so they can't go after him. Now, once that contract is up, who knows where he'll end up going, but for now, he is not somebody that they could even pursue if they wanted to. And we've also got some updates here. Earlier in the program, we were talking about Seth Rollins' win-loss record, which is very, very bad. 1-16. That is one win and 16 losses in the last month. And we've got an update here. I tasked Mookie Ghana. I don't even know if he heard it, but somebody tweeted him and said, looking quickly, Orton's October 07 to April 08 championship for win percentage, but Seth's total losses are higher. Not quite sure exactly what that means, but what he's saying, it appears, is that when Randy Orton was the heel champion from 07 to April 08, he may have been almost as bad in terms of win-loss percentage to Seth Rollins, but I think we got to check that out. Because I'm skeptical that Randy Orton ever went 1-17. In fact, I think that's impossible because it's Randy Orton. And he was a guy that they thought could potentially be a tippy-top, main event, build-the-company-around guy, at least for a period there.
I bet you Mookie knows all about algorithms and whatnot. He could help us out with this whole daily fantasy hustle we can get going.
He's certainly, yeah, there's another one, everybody. If you have questions about math, don't tweet me.
Not a master of the abacus there?
I could spell abacus. I almost said I couldn't, but I do have to pretend like I have some talent. Did you know, Mike, by the way, I've got some sad news here.
Oh.
Yes. Devin Taylor has been cut by WWE. Devin was the pretty bubbly backstage interviewer on NXT who, God bless her, I loved her, she's beautiful, she was no good at her job, and I guess they felt the same way, and she has been released. I'm very sad that we will never get a payoff to Dana Brooke constantly petting her on the head.
Well, I am sure, though, I mean, knowing WWE and knowing how they like to hire women who are basically not ugly. You know, these are attractive women that they seem to hire of all shapes and sizes for the most part. You know, you're going to get somebody else there who Dana can pat or pet, depending on how you'd like to look at such things. In fact, maybe the Eva Marie experiment can go away and she could stand there holding the stick.
Really, Mike?
What?
I got another text message here, everybody. This is for me and you. Why would it be such a bad thing if Awesome Kong or Gail Kim won the TNA World Title Tournament to become TNA World Champion? His argument is, I disagree because they won't be on TV much longer, and what do they have to lose? Well, anytime your argument is, what do they have to lose? I don't know if that's the best argument. TNA needs all the help they can get.
Are they going to hire Rick Steiner to go out there and settle grudges against guys that, you know, like he did against Conan and who else with a Lash LaRue? Where he just was smacking around dudes in those last days.
Oh, the dying days of WCW. Have I mentioned, everybody, Death of WCW is available on Amazon.com? If you want to know what happened, if you read Dave's Observer article about Eric Bischoff and WCW last week, and you're itching for more, Death of WCW, still a bestseller after all these years, 10 years it is in print, and I might add, the only book ever to win Best Book twice in the Wrestling Observer Awards. And I realize I work for the Wrestling Observer, but it is fan voting. And a lot of times the fans of the Observer, sometimes they're not fans of me.
Mm.
That, I believe, is a testament to the book. Back in a moment with more phone calls, text messages, emails, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. It appears Aussie has been on the line here for a while. Hopefully that Aussie, you're on the air. What's going on? Aussie? Are you on the air, or did you give up during the last segment?
Should I, in place of him, do some sort of Ozzy Osbourne impression?
This may be Ozzy. That's why he's not answering.
Brian.
Wow, Mike. Ozzy apparently is off the air. 425-488-0525 is the studio line. It's open. Give us a call if you want to get on the air. What's so funny?
Nothing. I don't know.
F4W
Ed
Online.
Ed is probably sitting somewhere outside the Eagles Club in Berwyn, Illinois. Hopefully after getting beat up by the big audio nightmares, Adam Summers, and is just dying to call in and talk about the shows from
over the
weekend.
Let me talk about Ed. Listen, Ed, there's a message for Ed. February 27th, I'm going to be a father. And I'm going to have a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she is going to attempt to wrap me around her little finger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to develop a backbone. And what that means, Ed, is there are rules. And if you break the rules, you must suffer the consequences. And so I can't bring you back before Wednesday. Because then you have me wrapped around your little finger. So I'm sorry there was a Shimmer show this weekend. I'm sorry that you can't call to report on it until Wednesday. That's not my fault. You should not have accused me of fat-shaming Nia Jax, which I absolutely did not do. I was making a point that she's got a monster gimmick. She's a monster. That's her gimmick, that she's big. That is not fat-shaming. So, Ed, you're going to have to wait till Wednesday. But fear not, Ed. I've got the results of this Shimmer show. There was big news coming out of this. I know we have a lot of fans of women's wrestling here on this show. Shimmer Volume 76, which was October 10th at the Berwyn's Eagle Club, they had a number one contenders match, and it was won by Candice LeRae, who then went on to face Nicole Matthews, and she lost that match. That's on Shimmer Volume 76. I should have said this is a spoiler for those of you that are waiting. If you're waiting to see what's happening on Shimmer 76 and 77, plug your ears for 30 seconds. Shimmer Volume 77, there was a Shimmer Championship no disqualification match in which Madison Eagles defeated Nicole Matthews. Therefore, Madison Eagles is your new Shimmer Champion. There you go. I scooped Ed.
There were some names on that show that were unannounced to anybody that follows the Japanese women's wrestling scene from the last maybe 10, 15 years or ago.
If it's not Kana, I don't care.
It's some of them you should. Like
actually,
Makoto,
I know. I probably should. After Kana, I should care about all of them.
Like Sana Kokedo was, you know, who was one of the original Gaia girls, you know, was on there. And they always do a great job, and they've done a great job, including bringing Kana over here. So it really is a, as far as some really good matches and some really fun stuff and flashy stuff, Shimmer does do a very, very good job, and so does Stardom. And I know they're going to be doing a lot of... Shine, you know, and obviously had that week of them being on here. Those two promotions in the States and then Stardom over in Japan, and there's a couple of women's groups over there, Ice Ribbon, they're all small. They all should probably, they in a perfect world, they'd be working together and be a lot stronger than what they are, because there is a lot of legitimate athletic talent that hopefully, if anything comes from this deal with Kana, can just crack the door open a little bit where we can see a little bit more diversity, because the one thing about those women is they are trained to know how to work. So as far as projection and stuff like that, that could always be helped later on down the line. But, man, I hope it opens the door a little bit for some of them.
We'll have a Shimmer Week down the road at some point and get some of these women on. By the way, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. I never did. But Mookie Ghana looks exactly like Sami Zayn.
That, yeah, he Am I
the only one?
A little bit.
That's a spitting image. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Chris in Las Vegas.
Yes, Chris.
Brian, I'm actually going to talk TNA. I never talk TNA, but I'm more interested in the financials. Yeah, I'm not a businessman by any means. I'm a school teacher. But when I start looking at the positives and negatives, what is the positive that Panda or Dixie Carter or any Carter would want to keep this business open and running? Is there any possible way that somebody from Wrestling Observer could contact and ask them?
I can tell you.
Is it because it's because they're family? Is it because they're worried about the poor wrestlers that are unemployed and look they don't want them to have a job? But I cannot think of any reason why you would keep this going. Why don't you just shut it down?
Okay, can I tell you, Chris?
It's dead. There's no positive reason other than keeping some people unemployed.
Just a steamroller.
Damn, brother.
Why?
Chris,
I don't get
I'll
it.
I'll answer. Hold on a second. Listen up.
All right.
Xanax.
All right. Mike, please. Here's the deal with TNA right now. I don't know what the answer was 2 years ago, but let's look at right now.
Sure.
They actually have a lot of international television deals where they're being paid to put their tapes on television in foreign countries. So
and that's more money than they're making now. More money coming in than money going out?
Well, it is, because right now they're not doing anything here. They're not running. They did run Bound for Glory, which probably lost some money. I'm not going to lie. But how are they losing money today as compared to 5 years ago when they were paying for Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan, Jeff Hardy, all of these huge names? They have right now like maybe three guys that are under contract. Everybody else is working on a per show basis. They do a big long set of television tapings where they fly some guys in. They tape a whole bunch of television and they ship those tapes around the world. Now, I don't know the financials, but if you look at the number of international television deals you have, if you look at the amount of money that they're spending nowadays with nobody under contract and not running any shows, it's possible that they are making money. Not a lot of it, but it's more possible that they're making money now, I think, than at any point during their tenure.
So in 2015, we're going to report that TNA turned a profit.
That depends on what you mean by a profit. If you're talking, have they made up for all of the money they've lost in the last 12 years? Of course not. But have they broken even in 2015? Maybe.
Well, I mean, they even with divine intervention, they'll never be able to fill that hole that they've dug as far as losing money. But with that said, like you said, if you're not doing anything as it stands right now and you are still getting money from these international outlets, I guess it's better than nothing.
Now, I do have one thing. Okay. That I want to say, because I've got this deal right here. They had this Halloween weekend tour. They were going to be doing some house shows in the Gulf Coast. They canceled them.
Yeah.
Now, Mike Johnson of PW Insider says, a number of readers have asked about the cancellation and what it means for the company's long term, since yet again their show's canceled. In speaking to a number of people in the company, the shows were not canceled because of poor advance or financial issues. I was told that TNA plans in terms of taping material changed, or their plans in terms of taping material changed, and they don't need to film, so the decision was made to scrap the weekend instead. Now, I'm not questioning Mike Johnson, because I'm sure that he was told that. What I'm questioning is, whoever told him that, why would you cancel the shows if the advance was good and you were going to be turning a profit, right?
That was going to be my question. But
why would you cancel them? Unless you were going to lose money on the tour, it doesn't make any sense. The wrestlers would get a chance to work. You'd be making a profit. You'd be on the radar because you were running shows. It doesn't make any sense to cancel those shows if they were on their way to making money, right?
One would figure.
That's what I think. Chris gave up.
They're not paying for trans, right?
Who, the company?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they'd have to fly everybody out there.
But that
should count in your ticket sales. Like, if I'm running a show, and I've got to fly in everybody, I've got to rent the building, I've got to provide transportation and lodging, and it's going to cost me $100,000. And I've only sold $50,000 worth of tickets. Okay, I'm losing money, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you add all of their expenses together, and let's say it's $100,000, which is probably excessive. If, as TNA has claimed, it has nothing to do with finances and ticket sales were good and they're happy with where they were, then that would indicate that they were on their way to making more than their expenses. So why would you cancel it if you're going to be making a profit? Unless you weren't.
Either that or there was some bizarre business reason why, with a fallout with a local promoter or a local wrestling company they're working with or the building. You're right. I don't know then if it was going to be a profitable venture. And you look, they have to put a spin on, you know, failures now and try to spin those into positives. And you did have something positive. Why would you take that away? That's a damn good question.
And if it is a sold show, which if I were TNA, that's all I'd be running is sold shows, which is essentially where the promoter pays for the show and you can't lose money. If the promoter pulls out, then you should just announce that the promoter pulled out of the show. Anyway, back in a moment, everybody, with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, poor Ed says he got punched in the ribs at the show by Sweet Soraya Knight. I saw what you sent out there, Mike. Crying Ed.
He did.
I'm sure he was so happy to be punched by Soraya Knight. 425-488-0525 is the phone number.
I'm surprised the fist was able to find the ribs.
Wow. I think he just meant, like, his midsection, his gut. I was going to call and say I fat-shamed him.
Should have punched him in the face.
425-780-7566 is the text message line. That's 425-780-7566. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. All of these numbers available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Give us a call if you would like. As you noted during the break, Mike, no one could hear you but me. Cal Bishop, another developmental wrestler, was also cut here today. He was an amateur star who apparently was not a very good professional wrestler because they got rid of him. So that's it for old Cal Bishop there. Athena debuted for NXT, however. Of course, she has worked for Shimmer, a number of others as well. Surprised that Ed didn't text about that. Athena debuting in NXT. Where's the women's wrestling contingent to give us a call today and tell us about Athena?
Talented lady. Been around for a long time. Again, another veteran of Shine and Shimmer and many other groups and Japan. And obviously, you're limited on getting a shot, but that's the one shame when people want NXT to die, as so many people do, as Chris is. John,
you mean TNA?
Well, yes. What did I say?
He said NXT.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, TNA dying, but you know, there's
last
the one
I checked, nobody wanted NXT to die.
Nobody. The one bad part about TNA dying is that for somebody like an Athena or for somebody on their way up, as you know, as much of a pain as it's been for a lot of people and as many screw-ups as they've had, it is one less place to try to ply your trade. And there is one thing about if TNA does drop dead, which it most certainly looks like they're going to, that's too bad. Because even if the fans' response...
I don't think they're going to, dude.
Well, I mean, look, even if the fans' response to the promotion in general is apathy and, you know, nobody watches in any way, it's still a place for somebody to get experience that they may not be getting.
I don't think this place is going out of business. They've got international television deals. Whether they have a television deal here in the U.S. or not, I mean, the way that they've got it set up right now, essentially, they're sort of doing what Global Force is trying to do. Global Force is trying to do television tapings here in this country and then shop the tapes around internationally. But so far, they haven't gotten one television deal yet. TNA has tons of international television deals. So if they did a deal where every 2 months they taped 2 months worth of television and shipped it out overseas, and then another 2 months they taped 2 months of television, shipped it out overseas, they could last a long time. As long as those international deals are still in place, they could survive without having television in this country. They just don't run in this country. They don't run anywhere.
Do you buddy up with, let's say, like the Monster Factory, and they had a working arrangement at one point with OVW, but, and I'm sure they probably could again. But do you do things like that where you utilize, like, who was it, Luke Hawks down in Louisiana? You utilize guys like that. And those types of scenarios where these guys already have a dojo or they have a way to run a show or two and it's self-contained, where you rely on them for more help and you may only supply, you know, four TNA guys, technically TNA guys, and the rest of the people on the card could be filled out some other way like that.
I would do anything I could. I'd buddy up with anybody. I'd do whatever I could to stay in business. Everybody, you know what's funny about TNA?
I want to see Kurt Angle and Chikara.
That'd be cool. But you know what's funny about TNA? I'm going to tell you.
There's
since
lots,
you didn't
actually
respond.
So what, it's racking my brain. I mean, it could be so many things.
Here's what's
it's
funny
Dixie's
about
emails.
TNA. There's a lot of things, but here's the funniest thing. How about this? You know what's ironic about TNA?
What's that, Brian?
It's been 13 years now, and it appears, after all this time, they finally figured out, or maybe figured out is not the right word. They finally were forced to run a business with the goal of turning a profit. Now, the way the business is structured, I mean, it's way below the radar, and nobody ever talks about it. Although we have talked about it a lot for the last week, ever since Bound for Glory and that world title tournament got signed. But, I mean, prior to that, nobody talked about it. I mean, we never got calls on this or any other show about TNA. But they have a business model now that may actually be turning a small profit. Probably not a big profit. They may not even be turning a profit. But if you look at the business model right now, aside from running the Bound for Glory pay-per-view, which I'm sure lost money based on the feedback we've got, they may finally have a business model after all of these years that is about making money, which is why you should start a business in the first place. I didn't start a business to lose money. Never. Every business venture that I've ever been involved with or got into, I looked at it and I thought, am I going to make money or am I going to lose money? And if I'm going to lose money, maybe at the beginning, am I going to lose a lot of money? And is there a chance to make money at the end? I never went into it going, I'm just going to run some crazy business. I'm going to lose tons of money. I'm going to try and find backers so that I can continue to lose money. Never. And this is not like this is a revelation. Anybody who's ever run a business, for the most part, except in pro wrestling, apparently, anybody who's ever run a business, that's the goal. You try to make money. You try not to lose money. And for years, they had these wacky business ideas. Let's run internet-only pay-per-views with no television. Not internet-only, but weekly pay-per-views with no television. Well, that failed. And then bringing in all these guys, these huge contracts, and everything they did for all of these years. And finally, we're actually at a place where now we've got a business that may actually turn a little bit of a profit. And now they may be around forever.
Desperation makes people do funny things, like, you know, want to survive. It's, you know, maybe it's a great example of why you should always leave, like, ramen noodles around the house. Because if anybody had ever hit rock bottom or had been struggling for money or have had to scrape and work two jobs and three jobs, and some families where you have two people with kids working five jobs combined between the two, you know, keep those ramen noodles around because it'll remind you of what it was like to have to go shop at the dollar store. Remind you what it's like to actually have to strive and to want for something better and to keep what you have and to take care of what you have and to not gamble it away, to not throw it away foolishly and stupidly, and to take your eye off the prize and to let other things get involved. You know, it's like you said, you know, you shouldn't run a business to just have it be a thing. You know, I mean, that company could have been on TV somewhere and could have been sold, but the Dexy didn't want to get off TV. I mean, think about where you were then to where you are now, and it's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. But then again, I guess when money was never an option or is never an issue, what can you do?
Spursnier says, is it true that Randy Orton will be taking some time off soon, as well as Cena? Are WWE concerned about these breaks by two top stars since they haven't built new stars in 10 years? Hey, what did Mike just say? Desperation. Sometimes that's what's needed. The best thing in the world is for John Cena to disappear for a while. Give some other people a chance to maybe fill that void. Obviously, it's going to be a negative at the beginning, but maybe at the end of the day, they'll make somebody because John Cena is gone. I haven't heard about Randy Orton, but Randy Orton is a father now. He's 38, if I recall correctly. He has been taking time off for vacations because he can. And I'm sure that he'll probably be taking time off here and there for the rest of his career. I don't think you're going to see him as a guy who's never taken time off again.
And I want him to graduate into, I'm not saying emeritus status like a Jericho, but I want him to be very sparse because of the reaction that he gets. And I hate to say it, but unless John Cena gets seriously hurt, they're not going to do it. I mean, the month is just not enough time, or however long he's taking off now. It's just not. He's got to be gone from the scene, but they can do it. They've done it before, and desperation makes you do those things. And when you need to create one, those juices flow, you get new ideas, things happen, things break right, and they get created. But it's not going to happen with Orton and Cena there as long as there's any focus on them. And as great as both of them are in their own ways for their own reasons, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but I wish for somehow, some way that they do go away and get desperate enough where they invest in Big E on his own or Rusev, and they do more, you know, looking at him instead of just being this, you know, cartoonish character. You can still have some of the cartoonish aspects, but you can take him seriously. There's so much talent there, and they've blown it with Cesaro again. I don't think he's dead, but it's possible. But you need those two guys to basically evaporate before that happens, so they just don't fall back on them.
SmackDown was up this week, everybody. Great news for them. They went from 2.13 million to 2.14 million. Wow. Actually, to be fair, it would be 2.147, so 2.15 million. Our rating's still not good for this company. What's the, is there a football game tomorrow, Mike? What's going on Monday Night Football?
Let me double check, actually, who is on the schedule for Monday Night Football.
I hear that the Seahawks lost to the Bengals today. My team.
They did. Well, wow. To be fair, Cincinnati is undefeated, although it was not the best showing in the world for your Seattle Seahawks, but
there's no way we're going to the Super Bowl this year, right? Is it possible still?
Oh, it is absolutely possible with that defense things breaking right. Absolutely. Hey, look, you guys have been due for some bad luck over the years. But if anybody does want to jump off their bandwagons, the Atlanta Falcons are 5-0 right now. So remember that. Not the most marquee game tomorrow night, although it should be there. It could be exciting in spots. Pittsburgh against San Diego. The hope for that game would be a lot of offense. You have Michael Vick, Le'Veon Bell, Martavius Bennett, or Bryant, Antonio Brown on Pittsburgh. And San Diego likes to throw the ball when they are successful. And the hope for that game, if you're watching that, would be a big offensive flurrying showdown, which would probably be the worst possible thing for Raw, which is already hampered in the fact that there's a game whatsoever. So if there's any excitement at all to it, I would fear for Raw.
So don't forget, there is a New Japan show tonight at midnight.
I would just watch that over again.
Yep, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. Kenny Omega, Matt Sydal for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. We've got the tag team titles on the line, the junior tag team titles, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly against Rocky Romero and Beretta. The Never Openweight Championship is on the line, Toge Makabe against Tomohiro Ishii, and the Dome Shot, the Money in the Bank briefcase for the Tokyo Dome, Hiroshi Tanahashi against Tetsuya Naito. If Tanahashi loses, he loses, allegedly, his shot at the Tokyo Dome. And the IWGP Heavyweight Championship is on the line. Kazuchika Okada against AJ Styles. You can check
this. Closing the book, possibly, on that rivalry, which has been really, hey, it's been pretty incredible since Styles took over for Finn Balor running the Bullet Club.
And all of this is available at njpwworld.com tonight live. That is njpwworld.com, New Japan's WWE Network, 999 yen, less than $9 a month. U.S. commentary with Matt Stryker. Yes, Matt Stryker, along with Kevin Kelly. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here for the final segment of the show. We got a lot of stuff coming up tonight. If you're a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com, Vinny and I are getting ready to not only watch last week's Ring of Honor, which had the Roderick Strong Okada match, which everybody raved about, but two episodes of WWE Table for Three. Got a lot of rave reviews about that, so we'll do a Brian and Vinny show on that tonight. Joined by Granny as well, since she wasn't on the show on Thursday. Also, Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer, which is going to be going up shortly before the Tokyo Dome. I guess if you wanted to, if you don't want to hear Matt Stryker, you could listen to Wrestling Observer Radio while you watch the Tokyo Dome. How exciting would that be? That's coming up tonight as well. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, as well as all of the other affiliates. TuneIn Radio is the easiest way to hear the show live and free. Head up to the App Store on your phone and grab the TuneIn Radio app and search for Sports Byline USA. You can listen to Sports Byline 24/7, and that includes noon Pacific, 3 Eastern for the show every day. And if you happen to be busy during that time, we also have the daily replay at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And of course, if you're a subscriber, commercial-free downloads go up pretty much immediately for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, so you can always check that out. The Doctor of Lucha, Steve Sims, is going to be on the show tomorrow talking CMLL, the return of Mystico after all of these years, and a lot more. And yes, Mike is going it alone, or at least with a other co-host. Thursday and Friday, I'll be in Los Angeles for a big wedding. I won't be around, but Mike's going to hold down the fort, as he always does. A fine job of doing. And that is it from here, everybody. Want to thank Mike, as always, everybody at Sports Byline USA, callers, listeners, and more. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.